Rider Nation, are you ready?
Guns across the middle for Pinkton. Touchdown Riders. Masoli gunning over top and a pick by Blaise Brown. Five-man pressure quickly. Little hit screen to Schaefer Baker. Still alive. 15-10. Schaefer Baker is going to score.
After losing two straight to the Stabs, the Riders look to get back in the win column with a much-needed win in Calgary. It's the Riders and the Stabs on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Nobody covers your team like our team. Now, let's go live to the stadium with your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender, as they get you ready for kickoff. This is Rider Nation Pregame on the Source 620 CKRM.
A cool and wet night in Calgary as the Riders and Stampeders meet here at McMahon Stadium. Derek Taylor with you ahead of probably the biggest game the Riders will play this entire regular season. Even on record with the Stampeders, the Stamps, of course, hold the tiebreaker. And a win tonight could change the Riders' playoff fortunes dramatically. We will hear from Cody Fajardo, Craig Dickinson, all sorts of Riders, Shaq Evans, the new receiver, Duke Williams, and many more, as there are a thousand ways that this game could play out. We start from the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers, best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com, with Glenn Suter, of course. Glenn, am I overstating it to say the biggest Riders game of the year?
Not at all. Not at all. This, and you mentioned regular season, so yeah, not at all. This is the game that either catapults you to home field in the playoffs, which, as we know, is a major advantage, especially for Saskatchewan, when they get that crowd behind them. And when that, you know, when this game is over, the team that wins this football game will have the edge in a big way, not just a front-running edge, but and we can't say that they're going to lock it up, because there's still
weird things could happen.
But when you look at the schedule, the remainder of the schedule, you look at the fact that Calgary's won two of the three already, so they have the season series. This is as must win as you can be for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the regular season.
Yeah, the Riders would have to win two more games down the stretch. The Riders playing Montreal and Edmonton twice, then Hamilton. All four of those games very winnable. However,
yeah,
Calgary plays BC, Ottawa, and then a Winnipeg team that will have long locked up first place and may not care in week 16. So the winner of this game is like dramatically favored to host the West semifinal. On the other side of that, even if the Riders have to come back to Calgary, Winnipeg, last season we saw, went to Calgary, went to Saskatchewan, won the Grey Cup. Yep. How about the Riders do the reverse of that and roll through some teams? That's a hard road to hoe, though. Oh, my goodness.
It is. It's been done so many times. It really has. And, you know, I think there's an argument to be made for a team that goes into the semifinal on the road and comes together as a team, wins that game. They're on a roll. They're playing with great confidence. They go into the final, definitely underdogs. So they love that role. You know, I remember back in the day being in that position, and we were just fine with it. So, I think you can get there in a lot of different ways, but you know, home field again, especially in Saskatchewan, I think you're always fighting tooth and nail to get that.
Yeah.
And that's what's at stake here in this one tonight.
The Riders have reinforcements for this game. This, the Riders' debut for Duke Williams, who was the league leader in yards in 2018, had 11 receiving touchdowns in 2018 for the Edmonton Elks. That was the best in the league as well. We'll go through the numbers as we go through, but he is a super elite deep receiver in the Canadian Football League, but Suits, he hasn't played a real game in over a year. What's a reasonable expectation? Because I will be totally unreasonable. I'm just putting that out there right now. what's a reasonable expectation for Duke Williams tonight?
You want 150 yards on seven catches. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I think we should, you know, temper our expectation a little bit. But there's two things. There's two sides of this. One is Duke will have fresh legs. He's going to have real jump in his legs. You know, this is beyond the midway point of a condensed season for these teams. So teams are in a position now where the legs get a little heavier. They got to fight through that. you know, the sense of urgency in this game for both of these teams is going to be a factor in that, motivation there. But so Duke will have fresh legs. Shaq Evans will have fresh legs. Here's the downside with Duke. Again, it's the timing of just fighting off the pressure of a DB on your shoulder while you're trying to make a catch, running the routes precisely, not getting lazy in that, and, you know, making sure that he's on top of all the precision that's necessary to complete, you know, a big drive offensively. So I think, you know, that mental focus, that mental staying in and understanding each play, and if not, asking the guy beside him, you know, and not being afraid to do that. But here's what I can't wait to see, because when I went back and looked at the numbers of 2018 with that 1,500-yard season for Duke Williams in Edmonton, I was looking at the 30-plus plays, and there's multiple 30-plus plays.
Oh, yeah.
In 10 of the 18 games, he had at least one. And there were a few games where he had multiple catches of over 30 yards because he was winning jump balls. Duke Williams is not a speedster. He's not a blow-your-doors-off fast guy. He's a guy who runs great routes, understands where to be in zone, and when the ball's in the air, you love his chances. And that's what he's made his resume on. That's what he's built it on. And I hope to see some of that tonight, because it would be great for Rider fans, great for the league to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely. So 6'3", 225 in his third CFL year out of Auburn. He said, hey, I came because I know Nick Marshall. I know Ricardo Lewis. I worked with Jason Moss. It's a very exciting addition. The biggest offensive addition we've seen as we hit toward this deadline. Re-adding, I'm less concerned. People have asked me, hey, well, what about Shaq Evans this week? What do you think Shaq's going to do? The stuff you mentioned, I'm somehow not at all concerned, because I think Cody and Shaq for 2 years have been banging on their timing, and they looked so good together in 2019. Even though he's coming off a broken leg, it might not be 100%. I'm really not concerned about Cody and Shaq being in a groove, because I feel like those two just get each other.
Yeah, the timing should be there for both those guys, or if it isn't, it won't be long. It'll be a series or two. The question for Shaq is always that first game back from injury, because you honestly have to get out there and get hit. You have to get out there and run your route full speed and again, you know, push against, maybe just blocking in the run game, for instance. Push against a defender, trying to block him, and know that your leg is going to be fine.
You're not going to get rolled up on by Simone Lawrence.
Yeah, it hasn't happened. And you're not, and you know that it's got the strength back in it. Like, you can't practice the game intensity of locking in with a linebacker, trying to block him. He's fighting you. You're pushing beyond the strength that you think maybe your legs can hang with. And as soon as you do that once or twice, you go, I'm good.
Okay.
And then once you say I'm good, then you're right back. And, you know, it's not even a conscious I'm good. It just, you do it 3-4 times, even in covering a kick or something. You run down on a cover of a kick and you make a big tackle and you go, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Ready to go. And I think that'll be, you know, halfway through the first quarter for Shaq.
We would certainly like to see it. 8 catches for 87 yards for Shaq Evans so far this season in a game.
I thought you were predicting. So you wanted 150 from Duke and you wanted 87 from Shaq, or do you want more from Shaq?
Well, Duke is going to get one of those deep balls for 75, which then sets him up for 6-1, 48-1. Shaq, like a quick 10 for 95. Something like that, I think. Anything in that vein. Glenn Suter with us for Access Communications, Sask Milk, the Wireless Age, or Sastel Authorized Dealer, McDougall Auctioneers, and Salford Group. So the Riders make two big additions to the offense, and Suits, this late in the season, so many subtractions from the defense because of injury. Three new players went onto the 6-game injured list. Sam linebacker Godfrey Onyeka with a back injury. That means AJ Hendy returns as the Sam linebacker. Mm-hmm. Halfback Christian Campbell pulled his hamstring, tried to chase down the opening touchdown the last time these two teams played. He's on the 6th game. He's replaced by Damon Webb. Blaise Brown, the cornerback, injured shoulder. So Jeremy Clark has to make his debut. And oh, by the way, AC Leonard tweaked his knee in practice on Wednesday. And while he is listed as the starter, Coach Dickinson as late as Thursday said, he's probably 50-50 to play. I don't know how you let's say this, Bo Levi Mitchell knows that there are three new bodies at that field side.
Yeah, when I look at their defensive setup here, you're going to see a real rotation on the D-line. So they're going to try and keep A.C. Leonard fresh. And, you know, we'll see Pete Robertson. We'll see the rotation with Keon Adams.
Yeah, Adams back this week.
Woodard as well. So, you're going to – Craig Dickinson has dressed more D-linemen than most teams all year long, and that doesn't change here. Now, there's some athletic guys there, too, so you can do some different things with them. Where I'm saying that I believe, and this is not because they told me the game plan, but where I believe Calgary will test the Saskatchewan defense is in their secondary with Webb and with Clark. I mean, you have to go over there and test them and see if they're going to be nervous and backing off, or are they saying, bring it on, throw the ball in my zone. If you think I'm young, great. That means I get more chances for a pick six. You know, I'm sure that's the way they're thinking, because you wouldn't be at this level if you didn't think that way. But that's what I got to see, because it's easy to pick on, especially when you got two guys playing the same side. Boy, Bo could really go after that side and just see if those guys are going to back off and play scared, or are they going to get up, be aggressive, play the ball, play with instincts, and go after it? We'll see. That's where they'll test them.
Because we've had so many injuries, we've talked a long time about, hey, defensive backs work in all these spots and they learn all these spots. For 2 days at practice, Jeremy Clark was working at Sam linebacker, and now he's the field cornerback. And I get those positions are kind of next to each other, but
right,
they must come with different responsibilities. So if we see it, definitely the Calgary Stampeders see it. And oh, by the way, that's kind of where Kamar Jordan runs his routes, and Kamar Jordan returns to the lineup for the Stampeders on this day. If A.C. Leonard, what will you look for from A.C. Leonard to see how he's dealing with that? Dickinson said knee ankle injury that he suffered in practice.
Yeah, if he can get out of his stance the way he normally can, because he's one of those guys off the edge that when he comes out of his stance, like he's coming out of a cannon. So if that's slowed, that's going to be the indication that it's just, you know, he's trying to get through it. And I would suggest that probably the rotation limits his play if that's what they see as well. But great athlete, you know, and him at 80% with his reach and his ability to shut down a passing lane, especially if you're sending blitz, and Bo is trying to go with the blitz beater on a slant route or something, and you get your hands in that lane, that's where A.C. Leonard could be effective, even if he's at 80% of his normal level.
Yeah, Coach Craig Dickinson talked about if he can move, he can play, as if he was just ignoring the fact that there will be pain. Like, okay, pain he can deal with, but if A.C. Leonard can't move, he can't race around the corner to get a sack, or he can't come off his come off his block to end the game against B.C. with that interception. He is an incredible athlete with 15 pressures, by our count, 7 quarterback sacks this season. And we will see. We'll hopefully get an early look at A.C. Leonard. But like you mentioned, they brought 10 defensive linemen with them. Granted, one is the global player, but that's one more than they normally bring, and I feel like that's because of A.C. Leonard. I got a couple things for you to watch for in the TV broadcast.
Yes.
Things we saw, and I've been keeping this to myself during the week because I don't know.
This is breaking news now.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to bring it up with Craig Dickinson in the meetings with the media this week, but I didn't know how much he wanted out there, because both these things were the first time I ever saw them all season long.
Okay.
And Luke and I will talk about it more. They deployed a package with 5 defensive linemen. They would throw out an extra defensive end. They took the Sam linebacker off. Here's an extra defensive end. So now here's Keon Adams doing stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I don't know what this will do, because literally I don't know what it'll do, but I like the thought that you're doing something different. And Rashard Davis in 6 receiver packages. All their 6 receiver packages this season have been William Powell. Rashard Davis was in there on day 1 and 2, so a couple of things to watch for.
I am making a note as you speak, and I will be looking for that. And that's kind of what I mean, though, about the athleticism from a guy like Pete Robertson or A.C. Leonard. I mean, and Keon Adams. So
yeah,
those are athletes at the defensive end position that you can do some things with them. you know, that's something that we saw from the late Don Matthews a ton, from Chris Jones, who does a ton of that, where he'll line your defensive end up off the edge and then drop him into pass coverage. So, yeah, I'll be looking for all that. Hey, but here's the bottom line. If the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have the best game of the year from their O-line, they win tonight.
I like the thought of that, because
they have to have their best game across the board, especially the interior guys.
Oh, yeah.
I know Dan Clark is fired up. They got to contain Mike Rose. They have got to have their best game. If they do, I think the Riders can win tonight.
I like the thought of that. And for some reason, there's a rabbit on the field racing down. That dude can run. That's Duke Williams. I'm just saying, that's Duke Williams. He's going right, left to right for the touchdown, is that rabbit. Glenn Suter is with us three times a week on the Sports Cage. Joins us every pregame show. If you're watching on TV tonight, I mean, be on radio. But have Suits on and listen to us. We love it. Suits, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Great to see you once again.
Have a great show, sir.
We'll break it down on the Sports Cage on Monday. We're here for Young's Equipment, the cooperator. See Kevin Bazandowski at Bazandowski Insurance in Regina. Advantage Crop Protection and Wood River Controls. About 55 minutes to kickoff. The kickoff time is contingent on the Winnipeg BC game ending on time. It's slated to be for 7:45, but it can't start while the Winnipeg BC game is still on. So we're about an hour away from kickoff as Winnipeg is mopping up the BC Lions. Next, we'll hear from Craig Dickinson about playing the same team three times in a row. Cody Fajardo about the stretch run, and a little from Craig Dickinson about additions for this game. It's all coming up in the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor, is breaking down today's matchups with players, coaches, and all the in-depth stats. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
McMahon Stadium, the biggest game of the Riders regular season. Riders and Stampeders coming up in about an hour on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Willie Jefferson just scored a touchdown in which he stiff-armed a teammate, and I don't know if he took the ball from him. Luke Mullender will break down exactly how badly the Bombers are whooping the BC Lions right now. My goodness. For us, it's the Riders and Stamps for a third consecutive game. Coach Craig Dickinson on the pros and cons of playing a team three straight times.
Well, one of the pros is you don't have a whole lot of film work, you know, in terms of stuff you haven't seen. So the film is there. I mean, sometimes when you play a team for the first time, you got a lot of film to watch and catch up. So the film's there. And so there's a familiarity that you have with the opponent. The cons are probably the same thing. They're familiar with you as well. And the challenge is to try to come up with some new and different things that can keep them off balance, because, you know, they've seen what you do and you've seen what they do. So it's motivationally, I think there's a pro because we've gotten beat twice by them. So I think our guys are motivated to go out and play hard and prove that we can beat this team. But then the con is that Calgary probably has a lot of confidence right now as well, because they've beaten us two in a row.
I feel like confident is how the Calgary Stampeders feel at this exact moment, Luke. What's your impression of three straight games against the same team? How would you have liked that?
That's a good question. I don't recall ever being in that situation, thankfully. Two games back-to-back was hard enough, but I think that there's enough on film right now for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to essentially have the keys to success. Like, they know what they need to do to win.
Okay.
And I think that's probably also what Coach Dickinson was alluding to, is the major con is also that the Calgary Stampeders have their number in a number. They've got to do a lot today. I like the fact that Suits referenced if the O-line has the game of their life, they'll win the ball game. I lean towards agreeing with that, but again, they've got to do a lot more. Someone's got to put a hat on Mike Rose today consistently, right? You start there. But more importantly, when I look at this game and I look at the film from last game and the way Zach Williams, Sean McEwen, and Ryan Skevier set the tone up front for the Calgary Stampeders. It was eye-opening. I think that Anthony Lanier and Micah, the problem is Micah's been solid all the way through, but that interior defensive tackle rotation with also with obviously Lacy being the middle linebacker who's going to have to play off that. You referenced them using a five-man front at times. I actually like that. If they're going to utilize a five-man front today, they're halfway there. But it's also a massive sort of admission that they needed to drastically do something different. Yeah. So it's going to be there's lots for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders that they need to do and can do here to tilt the scale. But more importantly also, man, I think I heard Ballsy reference it today. You got to start fast. Both games in a row here, they've been down by 14. They've been down by 7. Like the first play of the game last week, as you were reminding me today, was a tug. And again, if you want to have your chance, don't shoot yourself in the foot early.
Yeah, 14-0 in the first game, 7-0 on the very first play, a giant Marquise Amble's touchdown. Hoping for a little better. 5 games left in the Rider season. Multiple players and coaches this week talked about the next 5 games as if they were their own mini season. This is Cody Fajardo explaining his mindset as they head toward the stretch.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, and part of the reason is we're on the road for 4 of them, I believe, and 2 of them are out east, which is always difficult to go out east and win. But the biggest opportunity is Calgary, which in my opinion is the hottest team in the CFL right now. And we are part of the reason that they got hot, beating us twice, and then they go and they beat BC, obviously. So being that part of the reason of them getting hot, hopefully we can find a way to cool them down. We know it's going to be a difficult opportunity for us and a challenge ahead, but we do have that one game advantage. So we're hopefully going there and give ourselves a chance to win the football game. We know Calgary's going to throw everything they can at us. I think we got healthy through the bye. I think we got a better understanding and a great mindset going into this game. I feel really confident in the group and that locker room about where we are morale-wise as a team, especially coming off 2 losing games. It's never something you feel good about, but I think this bye week could have come at a better time for us mentally. So I think guys are excited. Obviously, with Shaq and Duke into the lineup, it injects kind of some excitement for not only me as a quarterback, but also for our defense, coaches, fans, you know, just having experienced guys like that. So it's going to be a different look for us offensively, but I think it's going to be an exciting time. And I know not everything's going to go the way we expect it to, because that's a good Calgary football team. But we got to go in there and hopefully fight, claw, scratch, do whatever we can to give ourselves a chance, which we have in the last 2 games. Unfortunately, we've been on the losing side. It's not like we got blown out by Calgary in both these games. Both of them came down to the wire. So hopefully we can tweak a few things here, play a little bit better, so we're on the winning side of it.
Luke Mullender, 18 game seasons.
The longest soundbite I've ever heard from a quarterback. Dang, Cody.
He just keeps going. Yeah. You
cut it short, bro.
When we call 18 game seasons, you talk about third, 6-6 yeah. and 6. 14 doesn't really divide well by 3, but this final game stretch is the final third of the season.
Yeah, I love the way it sets it up for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, too. I think that you couldn't ask for a better schedule. I know it looks tough, but from a player standpoint, being road warriors, again, I always talk about having to be playing your best football, your highest level of football into the final phase of the year. And there's a lot of characteristics you can build into your team by being away for these next 4 out of 5, right? Being road warriors, because it's clear it's very unlikely you're going to play the West Final or the West Quarterfinal in Mosaic Stadium right now, right? So, you know, being road warriors, for instance, right? Playing those tough Western games. I mean, you've got Edmonton back-to-back. I don't care how terrible Edmonton looks right now. They're still a Western team, and they still got pride, right?
Are we sure about that pride thing?
Yeah, well,
because they
You know what?
2 wins.
Well, when pride doesn't play a role, eventually your paycheck does, right? And you start playing for your life and your livelihood and your jobs, right? So that'll eventually start as well. But more importantly, you've got 2 games out east as well, as Cody alluded to in his dissertation he gave there. You know, you've got Montreal and that's playing really well. They're right. You're looking at them. They're probably playing pretty confidently. They've gone from like not having any quarterback depth to having 3 quarterbacks that can play the football game. Right. Like, that's pretty impressive. Right. And then Hamilton understands that coaching staff also understands you got to be playing your highest level football. So again, there's a lot of character you can build in here over the last last five games, and let's hope the majority of them are W's for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Montreal tied for top spot in the East. Hamilton a game back of top spot in the East. That's two teams with a ton to play for that the Riders will have to face. So many changes into the West, and we talked about some of them with Suits. Of course, Duke Williams is one of them. Winnipeg makes three moves. Calgary brought in a new star cornerback who won't play today but will play soon. It's setting up for a great final 5 weeks, according to head coach Craig Dickinson.
Everybody's trying to add the magical pieces. You know, doesn't mean teams aren't happy with their group, but anytime you can add an impact player like a Duke Williams, like a Trey Roberson, you got a chance to go from there to there. And as you have seen this year, and especially our games, every game has been decided right at the end. And if you can just get a little bit better, maybe it gives you a leg up and gives you a chance to get hot at the end. That's the goal.
Just give yourself a chance. That's all Craig Dickinson and these Riders need. We are about 56 minutes away from kickoff for Claws of America, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. Next, we'll talk about the Riders adding Duke Williams to their receiving core, one of the super elite deep threats in the CFL when he was last year in 2018. What can we expect from him these final five games as the Riders head toward the playoffs? Back to McMahon Stadium after this on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
The voice of Canada's team worldwide. Listen online anywhere on the official Rider app or 620ckrm.com.
Hey Rider Nation, this is Sean Kleisinger. It's time for Did You Know? Did you know the last time Duke Williams played against the Stamps, he had a career day? It was the Labor Day rematch back in 2018. Williams of the Elks had 7 catches for 172 yards and a touchdown. Those 172 yards, a single-game career high for Duke. Looking to recharge the Riders' aerial attack, Williams will make his green and white debut tonight against those Stampeders. Did You Know? Brought to you by Gowan Canada. Apply Avidex Microactive this fall to control early spring wild oat pressure, including Group 1 and 2 resistant biotypes.
Well, guess my prediction isn't so crazy then. 6 of 148 and 1 for Duke Williams. Let's see it. We're 52 minutes from kickoff at McMahon Stadium. Riders and Stamps on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network. And yes, adding Duke Williams as a free agent is the biggest move offensively in the CFL as we head toward the trade deadline. Williams had a ton of suitors across the Canadian Football League. This is why he chose the Riders.
Of course, you know, Nick Marshall, that was like one person. Ricardo, Paul, Coach Moss, a couple of them other guys. Paul, I played with all them guys. I played with Nick and Ricardo when I was at Auburn, and I played with Paul when I was with the Rams. Plus, I knew a couple of other guys. So, you know, I just wanted to come to where I was going to feel comfortable at and where I was going to feel welcome once I came in the building.
How hard a decision was it to let the NFL go for a bit and come back for the season?
I mean, it was kind of hard, but at the end of the day, like I told my family and my friends, for me, it's not really about money. It's about actually, you know, catching footballs and actually like leaving a legacy, you know, and I couldn't leave a legacy on practice squad in the NFL. So I just had to make a business decision to go to where, you know, I was loved at, not saying they didn't love me there, but where they was going to actually play me and actually let me use my talents.
And I think as Rider fans, we very much want to see Duke Williams use his talents. Give me what you're hoping to see from him here in game number one.
Well, I've talked to you all week. I've said it all weekend. Said a lot today. Hey, be careful what you wish for. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, right? Everybody was complaining that there's no deep ball threats. You had a quarterback that was moaning and griping about the personnel. Well, now you got it. Now Shaq is back, right? You've got Duke now, right? So now there's going to be an expectation. So I'm excited about Duke Williams. I think that, you know, in the NFL, you got to be a route runner, right? You got to be able to run precision routes. It's like a knife through warm butter, right? In the CFL, the width of the field, you don't necessarily need to come in here and be a precision route runner like Chris Carter was, for instance, right? Like, you can come in here and Duke is a guy that can take advantage of the space on this field and not worry about having to run the a crisp route, especially these long balls, right? He can use his big size to just shield guys off and run by him. Doesn't, right? As long as you're at the spot at the end of the day,
right
where the ball's going to be, that's what matters, right? In the NFL, like where you have to end up being, it's predicated on how well you run the route as well, right? In the CFL, because of the width of the field, you get a little leeway there. So I'm excited. He's a guy that he's had success with Jason Moss. He understands what Jason Moss is going to want out of him. Jason Moss is going to understand what he gets with Duke William and how he's most effective, right? So I think that having him in there at that slot back, it's not just where to put him. It's where Jason Moss feels he's most effective. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm excited. I think that he's going to add another dimension to this team, hopefully. And again, the Riders know what they have to do. There's a number of things they know how to do, and one of those things is start hitting big plays, right? And it's not just this game. They're going to need to start hitting big plays, right, moving forward if they want to get out some of these tougher Western games and in the playoffs. So this is a start. But again, you got to be careful what you wish for, because you might get it.
Well, now you have to deliver. And Duke Williams comes with a skill set that is very pronounced, including in some areas that, Mr. Williams, are very important to this year's Riders team.
Duke, are you the best deep ball threat in the CFL?
I can't answer that. You trying to set me up for that one, huh?
In 2017, you were the deepest target. In 2018, you had by far the most deep targets in the CFL, most deep catches and yards.
The last 2 years I was in the CFL, by far I was the best deep threat. I can see that. This year I can't see that because I didn't run a deep ball this year at all. You know, so, but 2016-17, I was the best deep ball threat. There's no argument in that.
Is that still in you? Five games.
It ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere. That's what I do. Catch footballs. That's my job. Get open and catch the ball.
And did he ever do that in 2018? Just to run down some of the numbers. Led the league in receiving yards, 1,579. Tied for first in receiving touchdowns. He had 51 targets, 20 or more yards downfield. Second most in the league was 37. So he had 14 more than any other receiver in the Canadian Football League. He had 27 catches of 20-plus yards that season. Next best was 6 behind him. Suits was talking about big plays. 40-plus yard catches, he had 9 of them in that Elks offense. That was one more than anybody else in the Canadian Football League. 2017, Luke, they just said, you run deep and we're going to throw you the ball. 2018, he really showed a ton of stuff in every range. Can they unlock that in 5 games in this Rider offense? Will they have the time to unlock that in this Rider offense is a question I'm curious enough.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you want to hit your big play balls, I mean, you gotta be able to take a drop. You got to be able to set your feet, and you got to be able to make a good toss, right? And a lot of that is predicated on how the offensive line does, right? That's why I said you got to get a hat on Mike Rose today, because, good Lord, it's been easy pickings for him over here. In the last 4 quarters, he's played football. So, it's tough to put it into words, because there's more right now. There's more anticipation and question about how he's going to be rolled out than there is proof on film. Does that make sense? I mean, we've got the 2018, we've got the 2017. That's all fine and well and good, right? But, he's going to be a different player here in 2021 because he's 3 years older, period, right? And
fair.
And that's not a bad thing, right? Like, I still think he's a guy in his prime. He's only 28, right? So,
yeah.
So I think that he's good. But, again, I'm always cautious to sort of focus on certain guys, because you win as a team and you lose as a team, and there's got to be enough number of things that happen, and they can't just rely on Duke Williams to pull them out offensively, right? He's got to be part of the bigger picture here. He's got to be a big play part of the big picture, but again, they're also going to have success running the football. They're going to have to have success sustaining drives, things like that.
Here's the one thing I come to with Duke, and we'll talk to Craig Dickinson in a second. The worst case scenario with Duke Williams, had he showed up yesterday, Jason Moss could take him and go, hey, remember what you did week one of 2017 where we just said you run this way or you run to the far sideline on an angle and we're going to throw you the ball at 50 yards? Mm-hmm. That's there in him. Mm-hmm. Whatever else he's picked up this week of practice, and it's been just 1 week of practice, the hey, run it deep and have at it.
Well, you know
is,
what?
Is there with him.
And the other thing about it is, too, is that it's not necessarily the deep go routes that and the deep corners that he's effective in. I really look at an opportunity here for the deeper crossing routes. That's what I like about Duke Williams here. I like him coming from the slot in a waggle and taking a crossing route that is more than 5 yards in depth, right? I see him running crossing routes that eventually climb to that 15, 20-yard area. That's what I'm really excited about. It's not just that corner and that streak and that seam route.
Yeah.
It's the deeper over routes.
This is Cody Fajardo and then Craig Dickinson on what it means to be bringing in Duke Williams.
Obviously, it doesn't feel like he's a new guy to the CFL. He's a CFL all-star. He has NFL experience, and you can tell when he's talking to guys about routes, waggles. He's very acceptable to, you know, criticism or coaching, which is really big when you get a big-time receiver or a guy with the resume he's got. Sometimes guys come in with these blinders on, and he definitely has came in with the utmost respect and just wanting to get better in any way to help this team win. He did tell me I should slide more, so apparently he's been watching the same film everybody else has. But other than that, it's been great. Like I said, his communication has been awesome.
I don't know Duke very well, to be quite honest with you, but what I do know, I like, and he's tough. He's a committed football player. Football is his life. That's what he lives to do. And he's physical. And I think those three things, commitment to his craft, toughness, and being physical in how he plays, you can never go wrong adding a guy like that. So we're thrilled to have him. Thought he moved around well, and I think he's grasping the offense well also. And we signed him for a reason. We think he's a good football player and can help us win games. So we're planning on putting him out there and letting him do his thing.
And hopefully Duke will get a chance to do his thing tonight in a near must-win game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. For Dagelman Industries, Nutrient Ag Solutions, and Bronc Beer, now available in Saskatchewan, we will go to break. 43 minutes from kickoff, it's the Riders and Stamps. Next, we'll talk to Craig Dickinson about all the changes he had to make this week on defense in advance of an incredibly important game. Back after this on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is the Sports Cage. Weekdays from 4 till 6:30 on the Source 620 CKRM.
We're about 40 minutes from kickoff in Calgary. The Riders and Stampeders on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network. Every home game, we've got sideline reports brought to you by Ritchie Brothers. They love CFL football and want everyone to enjoy the game. Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers. Download the RBA app or visit rbauction.com. Changes on defense for this game. First one, and the biggest one, is that there's not a change, but we'll be watching very closely AC Leonard. He tweaked a knee or an ankle in practice on Wednesday. He tried in the closed practice, Craig Dickinson told us, tried to go on Thursday but couldn't. However, he was on the depth chart when it was announced on Friday, so we wait to see him tonight. Godfrey Onyeka out on the sixth game with a back injury, so AJ Hendy returns the Sam linebacker. Christian Campbell is out with a hamstring injury. Damon Webb at that field side halfback spot. Blaise Brown also to six game injured list with a shoulder injury. It was going to be Ailey Buka in that spot. He got hurt at practice on Wednesday, so tonight it's the debut for Jeremy Clark. Here's head coach Craig Dickinson on how it feels to see more injuries piling up.
It's frustrating. It really is, but you know, you can be frustrated about it for a few minutes, and then you got to get to work. So you know, we had our moments on day one. We were not very happy as a staff, but you know, we've gotten over it. And the other thing is this, Mitch, you find stars this way. You don't know who they are until they play. And so maybe one of these guys stepping in for the first time all of a sudden shows us something that maybe we didn't see in practice. So we try to look at it as glass half full. We hate to lose players, especially good starting players on your team, offense, defense, or special teams. But it also gives other players an opportunity to rise up and to show that they're capable of replacing these guys. So we'll see how it goes on Saturday. We're going to line up and we're going to play as hard as we possibly can because it's a big game. And our guys know that, whether it's their first game or their 10th game of the year.
Luke, coaches and players will never, ever use it as an excuse that 17 guys are on the six-game injured list. As a fan, I go, I get it. That's, there's a point where it's a lot of bodies. Damon Webb has a chance to be a star. He had the touchdown against BC. And Jeremy Clark from your favorite school, the Michigan Wolverines, will make his CFL debut tonight.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's a tough ask.
You know, we've got 7 days until we play little brother in Beast Lansing, so I will not be referencing that player.
Jeremy Clark's school.
Or his school at all this game, even if he has four interceptions and they all go for picks. All jokes aside, every team's had this problem this year. We talked about it at length, you and I, when the season was starting. It was that one of the things that we were going to see most in the Canadian Football League was going to be massive amounts of injuries. It's happening. And I think I said this last week, it just seems that right now the healthiest team in the CFL is going to be the one that wins. It will be like the NBA championships. You said that as well, I think, where, hey, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, they won it last year in the NBA because they were healthy, right? So yeah. Here, you've got to be healthy. Right now, the team that's sprinting out and just demolishing other teams, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, what are they? Healthy, right? So,
oh, yeah.
So again, I mean, they have their injuries, but not as much. So that's where coaching falls on. I'm glad that Coach Dickinson referenced, well, you know, you also get to find stars here this way, right? But it's on coaching. And that's why coaching matters. That's why I'm always preaching it, because when you have new guys into a system, when you guys have new guys into a league, the quality of your coaching and your ability to get those players prepared is what's going to make the difference, right? Because
yeah.
Then those players get to play faster. They play looser. They play with more confidence. They're thinking less. And that's what, right? So a huge opportunity today. As Damon Webb, I mean, we've watched that cat. It's looked good, right? Like, he hasn't looked bad out there when we have seen him. And
he played AJ most of Hendy's, the last game, right?
Yeah, AJ Hendy, he's gotten some experience, right? He's got an interception to his resume right now. So it's not as if Hendy and Webb are just brand spanking new right off the plane. They've been here. They've been in the system. Let's roll. It's time to roll.
Those three guys, they're the field side halfback, the field side corner, and the Sam linebacker who operates to that field side. Well,
you and I were talking about last game is if Calgary was going to go at anybody, it should probably be the field side secondary, right? And what they do on the first play, they went right at the field side secondary. So, hey, Jeremy Clark, University of Michigan, let's see what you got.
Well, and they went right after Christian Campbell, and that's when he pulled his hamstring and ended up on a six-game injured list. So Damon Webb at least has essentially a full game of experience playing that field side halfback.
Yeah.
If we see it, Bo Levi Mitchell sees it, and they have thought long and hard about how to rip it apart. So it becomes incumbent on these guys to get her done, as it were.
When you're a guy like Webb, you've just got to understand, hey, man, you're not out there by yourself. You got Luchez Purifoy, Ed Gainey, Nick Marshall, Dion Lacy. Like, those guys are experienced. They've been there. They've done that, right? They've been in your shoes, right? Lean on them. Communicate with them, you know, ask questions on the field. There's no stupid questions when you're trying to get a W. So he's got resources out there.
They will be required tonight. Bo Levi Mitchell hitting them quick in both games so far. See if the Riders can hold it down here for game number three, a critically important game. The roster contains 10 defensive linemen. One is the global player, Christy Zales, so legitimately 9 defensive linemen. That's more than they would normally bring to a game like this. We'll see if that means anything about AC Leonard's status. Only 5 linebackers on the roster, so there's going to be a call for more receivers and defensive linemen to be playing on special teams this week, because as we mentioned, 17 players now on the 6-game injured list with the addition of Blaise Brown, Christian Campbell, and Godfrey Onyeka. That said, DeMarcus Gates, Gary Johnson Jr. both returned to practice this week. They're on pace to be back for next week's game. And defensive tackle Garrett Marino,
Wreck-It Ralph.
There you go.
Let's go.
Had tweeted that he looks like he should return within a couple of weeks. So Marino's spirits are high as he tries to come back from his knee injury. Any level of reinforcements at this moment, and especially a guy like Garrett Marino, would be fantastic for the Riders. We are about 33 minutes away from kickoff for Bayer Crop Science, Science for a Better Life, Sastel, AgCo, the Rough Rider Children's Hospital Foundation's Lottery, and Spreads.ca. Still to come, we'll give you the weather report. We'll hear from linebacker Micah Tights about just how big this game is. Shaq Evans on how it feels to be back. Shaq back at that boundary wideout spot. And Dan Clark, the Riders' longtime center, will use the word whooping in reference to how Mike Rose and this defensive line treated the offensive line and him in specific in the last game out. If you're following along, you're on Twitter, hit us up at DT on SC. Tell us where you're watching from, your prediction for the game, and I want your prediction for Duke Williams' stat line. Excited to see the Duke into the Rider lineup tonight. Back, plenty more to come in the Rider Nation pregame show live from Calgary on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
The anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperator's Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame, only on Rider Radio. The Source, 620 CKRM.
The biggest game of the Riders' regular season tonight at McMahon Stadium in Calgary. A win, and the Riders have the inside track to hosting the West semifinal. A loss, and they will almost certainly be back here in Calgary in a few weeks' time, having to go through the Stampeders in their own home to advance to the West final. No game more critical than this one. The Riders add some pieces to the lineup for it, yet have to subtract some on defense thanks to more injuries on the defensive side. It is going to be a fantastic game here in Calgary. The weather report says Calgary weather 6 degrees, not much wind, rained all day long, but has held off for a couple hours. While the field may be a little wet, the ball should stay pretty dry. Should mean good things for receivers and runners in this one. Have to say, we gave you the pregame injury report. It's for Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. Their members pay $50 for most construction safety training courses. On the other side, just how big a game is it? We'll hear from the Riders' leading tackler, linebacker Micah Tights. We got a break for Seedmaster, Battery Depot by CAA, and Special Plan by Wisers. We are 28 minutes away from kickoff on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
The Riders play here. Saskatchewan Sports Radio, The Source, 620 CKRM.
26 minutes to kick off on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network. Temperature dropping to 3 degrees in the latest update. The weather conditions brought to you by Go Grain, the new app that lets farmers book and track grain trucking right from their phone. Download today at gograin.ca. I've been blabbing about how I think this is the biggest game of the Riders' season. This is linebacker Micah Tights. If he also thinks this is the biggest game of the year.
It's a big one. It's a big one for sure. You know, we definitely don't want to drop three to the same team. I mean, that's a bit ridiculous in pro sports. So, yeah, we're going to be giving it our everything this game, and definitely playing it like it's the most important game all year.
As I kind of look at it and forecast it, this game could well determine who hosts a playoff game. Do you look at things like that at this point in the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about it. We, you know, we jumped out to a very quick start at the beginning, and it, you know, be a shame if you can't even host a playoff game after that. So, and we know that it's, you know, great for the team. It's great for the city. So you really want to host that playoff game. If you're not going to get first, you want to host at least one playoff game. It's good for the whole organization. You know, people get to go sit in the seats, and you know, just it's just good for the team, really. So yeah, we really are focused on that, and we want to get the home playoff game.
I'm glad Micah brought up the quick start. The schedule was so heavy at home, and what we said in the beginning was, okay, they need to win a bunch of these games. And then we said, oh, thank goodness they won a bunch of these games, and now sitting at 5-4 because the schedule gets so road heavy, they're in at least a comfortable spot for a playoff spot, but the challenge is, can they improve when the schedule is 4 road games remaining?
Yeah, absolutely. And to Micah and the rest of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, as a former player, it's the most important game of the season because it's the next game, right? Don't worry about losing 3 in a row to the same team and getting your pride hurt by that. It's the most important game because it's the next game, and you got to start stringing them together here. And it's a huge learning opportunity. And again, you get the chance to be road warriors, because the way it's looking right now, you're gonna have to be road warriors in the playoffs. So may as well start now.
As I look at this, and I've never been in a pro locker room, I just look at this and go, it would be insane for coaches to not go, guys, you need to be absolutely 100%. Other days, I know you're 93%, stuff like that. If you lose this game, there's virtually zero chance you host a playoff game, and we need to host a playoff game for X, Y, and Z. It would be crazy for coaches to have not absolutely reinforced that strongly,
to be honest with you, they're not enforcing it that way.
Really?
And I don't think they should. And here's the reason why. Because if you put all your energy into saying, you know, we need this game, we need to do this, and then they don't do it, but they play good, right? Then it's like, oh, well, you let us down, right? You let yourselves down on this one, right? So I think that you've got to be really careful with the way you position this whole thing. You know, again, and that's what you always hear me talking about. It's got to be in your culture of practice, right? You shouldn't have to emphasize this game, and it shouldn't be one of those things where it's like, for us it is, for me, you, for the Rider Nation, right, for everybody listening, say, oh, this is absolutely that game. But you don't want to set yourselves up for playing a really good game, losing a heartbreaker, and taking even more wind out of your sails with the realization of, oh man, you know, we just, now we're hung up, now it's, you know what I mean?
They know that though, right? Those guys can read the schedule. And Luke is just getting boned by a Janarian Grant return touchdown that will make it 43. They need to miss the convert. Is that right? Is that what's happening here?
Oh, it's 44.5.
So. You're safe then. Winnipeg is absolutely mopping BC 43-0 with a convert pending.
And this is the and you look at this game, right? It's 43-0 right now, right? Like, teams see that. You have to get yourself up to that level, right? If you want a Grey Cup, there's the team. And you know what that team's doing? That team's going and dusting a team that you struggled with in your last time out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so that's the reason why this is an important game. Because the team you're going to have to go through to get to the GC is out here running around having fun like they're playing flag football.
Yeah.
So
they're feeling good about themselves, the Calgary Stampeders.
So that's the standard. The standard can't be, oh, we won, thank goodness we didn't lose 3 times in a row to the same team, right? Like, that can't be the standard. The standard needs to be, hey, the team that we're going to have to go through is playing their best football already. We need to get there.
And going through the Calgary Stampeders would certainly help. Tweeting at DT on SC, Lane, who tweets at Crazy Rancher 13, says 31-21 Riders. Lane, you're my new best friend.
Let's
saying
go.
Duke has 125 and a touchdown.
Oh, man. Look, for all those out here.
I love it.
If the Riders lose by 40, but Duke Williams has 148 and 1 touchdown, the only person who's not going to be mad is going to be DT, because he has been in here and he's so excited about this.
So excited.
And that's the main stat he wants to see.
Clay, you picked the wrong team to win, but it says Duke 4 for 68. At Bay Nice says 5 for 80 and a touchdown. What's your prediction?
5 for 80.
I'd take that.
I can see that happening. 5 for 80 and a touchdown? Yeah, I can see that happening.
Hit me up at DT on SC. Your predictions for this game? Your predictions for Duke Williams in his Riders debut? For SaskTel, Nick Service, Farmer's Edge, and EasyBidsFarmAuctions.com. Next, we'll hear from Shaq Evans about his return to the lineup on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Pride Worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620CKRM.com. time for One Big Number.
One big number for this game is 18.1. Receiver Shaq Evans averaged 18.1 yards per catch in 2019. That was the best in the league by a healthy margin. The season before, Duke Williams was second in the league at 17.9 yards per catch. Now those two deep ball dangers are in the same of offense. Are they enough to revive this Riders attack? It still holds the lowest passer rating in the league on deep balls this season, and just five games to work with before the playoffs. One big number brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. We're just under 17 minutes to kick off here in Calgary. The Riders and Stamps on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. We've been talking a ton about adding Duke Williams to the lineup. Maybe more important is the return of Shaq Evans after seven.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, seven plus games away. This is Shaq on what it feels like to be back.
It felt good. You know, it's been a couple months. So it was just, you know, just a feeling of, you know, thankfulness, you know, just to be able to be back out there, because you know when the injury first happened, you know you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, because you know it foot's all swollen and you can't walk and things like that. So I'm just feel thankful, you know, just to be back out there and with my guys.
Can you describe, however in depth you want to go, the stages of the rehab you had to go through? Progress, yeah, setbacks.
Yeah, there was not really any setbacks. It was just being patient, you know, because when it first happened, you know, I was on crutches and in a boot. Then I slowly started, you know, doing a little mobility and things like that, walking on the treadmill, things like that. So it was like a slow process. Each and every week it was something a little bit different, but it was never like a huge jump. So it took all of the, you know, it's been almost 10 weeks now. So it took every day. So it was just more of just being patient, you know, each and every day, because it was a slow process.
It is fantastic. Great for the Riders to have Shaq Evans back in the lineup. Like we mentioned, he played five quarters so far this season. He had eight catches for 87 yards in that time. He'll be back at his wide receiver spot. Luke, I asked you what's a reasonable expectation from Duke Williams. What's a reasonable expectation for Shaq in his first game back?
I haven't really thought about that. A reasonable expectation for Shaq. I actually like the line for both of them. That's sort of five for 84. A tug. I like that line for both those guys. I think that we should expect a touchdown from either one of the guys. I think we need six out of there. But the overall big picture, what I expect because of this is I expect everybody else to get a lot more open. I expect things to flow a lot better for the offense. That's what I'm really excited about seeing. I'm not as concerned about, you know, these guys getting their touches. I just think that if you have a weapon like Duke and Shaq out there, and you're utilizing them right, so they hit a couple big plays, then I think that it just starts flowing a lot more organically, and then you get Braden Lennius involved, you get, right? Like, I think that's Kyron my Moore. Expectation. Yep. My expectation is for these two and their presence to open up the entire attack and give Moss probably what he's been looking for.
You talked about Duke Williams with deep crossers and stuff like that. Shaq can absolutely do all of that. He can do the downfield stuff, the intermediate stuff. They'll use him in jet sweeps they have in the past. Two big additions to the Riders lineup for this game at a terrific, terrific time. We're less than 14 minutes away from kickoff for Salford Group. Golden West Trailers and Equipment, SGI Take Care out there, and Dos Locos Strawberry Lime Tequila Seltzer. Next up, Dan Clark uses the word whooping when talking about what Calgary did to him 2 weeks ago. It's next on the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Stand up. Get loud. Bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation pregame on the home of the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Kickoff, the Riders and Stampeders, in just 30 seconds after Luke Mullender banging his head against the desk. The over-under total in BC Winnipeg was 44.5. Winnipeg led 44-0, third down, last play of the game. They were going to punt for the coffin corner. Ali Mortada put it into the end zone for a punt single, 45-0. Everybody who held under 44.5, #you got screwed, as our friend David Sanchez says.
You know what?
That's amazing.
You win some, you lose some. I don't mind because, you know, this is the game we were focused on. I was looking forward to this, and now it takes some pressure off. I don't know. I'm just grasping straws. I'm pissed.
This game can now start absolutely on time.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, we're still 2 minutes behind, but at least we're going. Like, let's roll. This is about time, right? We've been excited for this for a while now. Let's get Calgary out here in front of these fans, and let's get to banging some hats.
The Riders take the field. They're wearing their white jerseys and green pants. Luke mentioned they need to contain Mike Rose, that interior three from the Riders offensive line. This is Dan Clark on how Calgary had so much success against the Riders protection.
Besides whooping me, I don't know what else to tell you. That's a good front. They're moving all over the grooves that they got. It's all right. It's okay. And it's all right. And it's okay. They've done a great job coming up with game plans going against us. They're definitely beating our one-on-one matchups that we got to win. And it's just something that we need to be better as an O-line group across the way. And you know, that starts on Saturday in their place. You know, it's a tough team, especially when you go get some three times in a row.
Dan, are you surprised what Calgary's been able to do without blitzing?
No. They have an unreal front. Their blitz packages are something that they play well with each other, or play well with what they have in their group. So it's one of those ones that, you know, when you're having the matchups, I'm not a defensive coordinator or a defensive line coach, but if you're having your matchups that are getting home with rushing 4 to 5 guys, then what's the point of blitzing?
Dan Clark said he's not surprised, but I'll give you the numbers and you tell me if you are surprised. Fajardo had 84 dropbacks in the two games against the Stampeders so far. That's passes, sacks, and times where he scrambled. Calgary, on 84 dropbacks, blitzed only 8 times. If they had just done the league average, they would have blitzed 31 times. They are not bringing extra pressure at all because, well, they don't have to.
Well, they're winning up front.
Well, and that's exactly it. And then, as Fajardo has mentioned a couple times, that allows them to tighten up windows downfield.
You've got to get a team out of their scheme, right? And until you do, they're just going to keep hitting you, and there's no reason for them to blitz because they were having success against you guys just straight up. So if you want to get them out of that, if you want to see some more blitzes, if you want us right and things to open up, you better start hitting them, right? You better start moving the ball. You better start hitting your wide receivers consistently, hitting some big plays. That's the way you'll get them to change. Because right now, they'll probably come out here, and you might see a little bit of change of pace here in the first little part of the game, right? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Calgary threw some blitzes at them, right? You got to do something different, you know, just to make them, just to keep them on their toes,
right?
But again, there's no reason to change the scheme right now for the Stampeders.
Calgary, second and long this season, blitzing about half of the league average. A great deal of that coming from these two games against the Riders. And like we say, Winnipeg has the two premier defensive ends as far as quarterback pressures. They bring an extra attacker so much more often. Mike Rose, who we've been talking about and we will probably talk about during this game, by our count, 32 quarterback pressures, second most in the league, which is Micah Johnson of a couple years ago level production. Yeah. It's defensive end production from the interior, which, if Luke, when it comes from the inside versus the outside, what's the difference ultimately?
You can't step up.
The quarterback.
From the outside, as a quarterback, I can step up, right? If it comes from the inside, that means I got to adjust my launch point left or right, and that's where those defensive ends start playing more of a role, right? So that's, again, Sean Lemon having 5 quarterback sacks in the last 4 games. A big part of that is because quarterbacks can't step up. They've got to go left or right. That's where they're adjusting their launch point, right? Their launch point is the same. If you're moving upwards, your launch point is the same because it's where you started when you got the ball from the snap.
Right.
If you're moving east-west, your launch point is completely different now, right? So, again, and keep in mind, Derek Wigan, number 97 for the Calgary Stampeders, he's no slouch either, right?
Yeah, the Canadian.
So that is, as Dan Clark said, that is a massively talented front, and it's one of the keys here today that they need to hit on.
No Sean Lemon for this game. He is a little banged up, so taking a game off. Stephen Banks goes into the starting lineup. Banks, the first-year man out of Savannah State, has 5 sacks this season. On the other side, the Canadian Isaac Adeyemi Berglund, the rookie, is in there, and they get Forlaren Orimolade, a guy they've had high hopes for a couple of seasons, back in as a depth defensive end. We'll go back to break for the Capital Auto Mall, Young's Equipment, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. Luke Mullender's 3 keys to the game and the kickoff are next from Calgary on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.